When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Very excited to introduce. He's going to be defending the WWC Universal Championship this Saturday at WWC Camino a la Gloria. Very excited to welcome now the one, the only Chris Masters. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day here in Southern California, but I'm not bragging or anything. I don't know where you guys at.
The worst city in the world. Oh, the worst state, Ohio. So. Any place is bragging over Ohio.
And you, Joe?
I'm in Toronto, Canada, so we're okay.
Double whammy. I lived in Toronto for 2.5 years, so I at least endured it. I know what you're going through. Although, it might be a little nicer right now, right? Maybe?
Yeah, the sun's out. We're getting nicer weather. Why were you in Toronto? What did you live here for?
My ex-girlfriend was Canadian. She wasn't ready to come to the U.S. yet. So, I went up there and figured I'd try Toronto for 2.5 years. And, oh, man. And I know through my experience, too, that you guys aren't even done with snow yet. There's going to be at least a little more, right?
We already got it, and now it's finally gone.
Oh, and then Ohio. Where I am.
It's allegedly spring break, and it was snowing last week. So, yeah, we're still getting snow. It's like 30 degrees out right now.
I'll tell you what, though, I wrestled in Montana this past weekend, and I landed in South Dakota and snowing there, you know. And what an odd place to work too, Montana, right? Like, but you know, there is an indie federation that's actually kind of starting to thrive there. That's new and traveling the state. So that was like my third time there. But yeah, really interesting, man. Really interesting. Wyoming is another interesting place to be in at this time of year.
Chris, you got it pulled back a little bit right now, but the thing I think a lot of people have taken notice is the hair. You've been letting it grow. What was the decision to do that?
First of all, I just hate getting haircuts. Honestly, is what it came down to. And like,
I respect this. Same.
I always have since I was a kid. I mean, I like how you feel after. Obviously, everybody does, but I hate it. So what happened was, is I got to the point where I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just not going to get a cut, and I'm just going to wait till I need it. Like, I have to. You want to wait till, like, it's just too ridiculous. And what ended up happening is I just ended up trimming the little ends, and then the top kind of caught up. And then, I started working NWA with Tom Latimer, and both him and me decided to make a pact to grow our hair long. So it actually turned out nice, though, because, you know, it's a good way for me to try to a piece for me to try to evolve. And I didn't see that initially. And I didn't really, because I never thought I'd actually like it long. But, you know, it's actually worked out pretty well. And, you know, just trying to make little tweaks to from who I was to who I am now.
Let's talk about who you are now. You're WWC Universal Champion. You won it back in January at Euphoria. And you got a buddy. Eddie Colon, he's someone you're very familiar with. He's been your special referee lately, including at the match this Saturday against Mr. Ring Gonzalez. Talk to me about not only your experience in WWC, because I know that's longstanding, but also facing someone like Mr. Ring, what can we expect, and your relationship with Eddie?
Everybody knows that, I'm good friends with the Colon family, obviously, with Carlito maybe being my bestie. And then Eddie and, I worked for Carlos Colon, the legendary Carlos Colon years back. So, I have a long relationship with the Colons. But that's not to say that Eddie Colon is not, he is a responsible guy and he will call things down the middle. He is unbiased. I mean, nobody should think that he's going to be just automatically leaning towards me. I mean, he's a guy of the utmost, trust, faith. Right? You don't think you guys look skeptical?
I mean, listen.
It's wrestling, you know? It's wrestling.
Think about how many times Carlito backstabbed me in our career. So you guys are right to be skeptical. Yeah. I'll tell you that much right now. Like, you are right. But But I mean, you know, this match with Ray, I feel like has been building for the last couple of months. I think what I've had with Intellecto has been kind of intersecting with Eddie and Ray, and now it's finally going to be me and Ray going one on one. Intellecto and Eddie are going to be the enforcers. So I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. I just know that Intellecto's obviously bitter because I have now defeated him twice. And you know, I'm having a very successful reign thus far as the WWC champion. Not to mention also the Stu Hart Heritage Champion. It is professional wrestling, guys.
We haven't seen you on NWA in a while. Are you still with them?
Not really. It doesn't mean that I couldn't potentially be back there at some point, but it just really got to the point where I wasn't. You know, I felt like NWA was a great platform, and I'm very appreciative to them for, you know, giving me a place where I could kind of work on, you know, all the intangibles and work on character stuff and evolve and everything. But then it just got to the point where I don't know, I just felt like Billy kind of took me for granted, to be honest. And I felt like, you know, I saw other people getting opportunities that weren't working up to my level at all. And it just felt like it was, you know, for me, I just needed to probably separate myself from there and see what else is out there for me. And, you know, hopefully create some new opportunities for myself. I think, you know, I think one thing I proved in my NWA run is I can have a good match with anybody. And I don't know. I guess Billy, in my eyes, didn't see value in that.
Well, you made some headlines with the comments you made to the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Tyrus. He said the fans did not reject him due to politics or Fox News. It's because he can't move. Did you get any
Yeah, that
heat
was,
from that?
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a big rift with Billy and myself right there already. But if you can tell, you can probably tell by the way I worded that tweet that I was so just kind of fed up anyway that, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, it's not like I didn't expect some blowback if I was going to say that. But I will say this though, I do feel bad like when I hear it back and I think back to it because they feel like Tyrus just ended up being cannon fodder for what was the real situation, which was my frustration with Billy. But at the same time, you know what I mean? I mean, he's got a lot of great things going for him. And I just feel like, you know, I was in NWA so long and I just felt like, you know, at some point, like, you know, up is up, down is down, and good is good, and shit is shit, if you know what I'm saying. And like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, live this lie or you. It just got to the point where I was like, okay, this is the way it is. And whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just being honest. So, but I do look at, you know, I just, you know, Tyrus didn't necessarily deserve that, but, you know, he's got a big ego. He'll be okay.
I want to talk about WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania season. You've been a part of four of them in some way, shape, or form. You have any fun WrestleMania stories? Because it's definitely grown over the years.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's so like tuned in. You know, first it started all the other, you know, it's become just a whole weekly thing now, right? Like, and yeah, it used to just be one night WrestleMania, and then maybe there was an access event or something. But I know my first really cool WrestleMania. Are we talking about as a fan or as in the business? I guess, right?
I mean, you can do both, quite honestly.
Well, I mean, you know, WrestleMania 12 is a huge thing for me. You know, seeing Shawn and Bret do the Iron Man match, that was probably the match that made me a pro wrestling lifer because I watched it all throughout my childhood, but I went through, you know, about 2 years of lapse fandom and then picked it up right around that time frame and saw those two work that match. So that was like, you know, a huge thing for me. But then, you know, fast forward to in the business, I remember it was my first WrestleMania and it was here in Los Angeles. And it was the Battle Royal before WrestleMania. Now, remember, everything's so new to me still. So, like, it's everything is exciting to me. And I'm only like, I've been on the road for maybe 4 months going into this. And now we're here in my hometown, LA, and I'm in the Battle Royal. And it comes down into the Battle Royal. And, you know, obviously, that's not even really on the Mania card, but it's, you know, it's on the DVD if you watch it now. If people watch DVDs, it comes down to Booker T and me. And, you know, everything went real smooth. Booker T won, but that didn't matter to me. Like, I had a cool little moment in there where I ripped my shirt off too, my Raw shirt. And so, like, for me, man, that was Oh, that was just freaking awesome. And then, my first actual, I always thought that, it was the next year that Carlito and me wrestled Big Show and Kane, and we were supposed to win the tag titles. That was kind of my first lesson in professional wrestling, and you don't count your chickens before they hatch ever, is that WrestleMania, because we were said we're gonna win the tag belts, which was kind of cool. And then it changed last minute. But like the point, reason I even bring it up is looking back, is being the opening match on a WrestleMania is really freaking cool. You know what I mean? And like even when I watch that back now, I can see how fired up I am. Like I can see it. You know what I mean? I'm like through the roof. And so yeah, man. Like just being able to open a WrestleMania. Obviously, closing a WrestleMania would be awesome. But I mean, I think most guys would tell you. You know what I mean? You would want that main event, co-main event, or opening match, get the people when they're fresh and they're ready and they haven't seen nothing.
Were you given a reason why you didn't win the tag titles, or just one of those plans
I
change,
think,
pal?
yeah, just lots of moving pieces. The Spirit Squad became a thing. And also, I think they started thinking they wanted to turn Carlito, which we inevitably did. And, but looking back, hindsight 2020, Carlito was 100% right too. That babyface turn was way too early. Like, yeah, sure you could do it because the people were cheering for him there, but like, it would have been much better for him if he would have not just I'm saying to stay with me, but just we would have ran longer and then he would have been off on his own for a heel longer or whatever the hell. Either way, just having him heel longer would have been, I think, better for him just because the babyface thing. He wasn't ready to be that type of baby face. You know what I mean? And like, and they wanted him to be the type of baby face he wasn't. You know what I mean? Which was very, fiery baby face. But that's not Carly. Like, Carly's got to do a find out how Caribbean Cool does it, which isn't going to be that kind of overly pandering stuff. So, anyways, that was going off on a sidebar, but.
One of the big questions we got asked for when we announced you're coming on the show, the peck dance. Who came up
Oh
with
God.
the peck dance?
Oh my God. It might have been Brian Gerwitz, but it was funny. I mean, and the first one with the Osbournes and then the one with the Black Eyed Peas was good, but like, oh my God, man. Once they started, they just overbooked the hell out of that. And like, it's just not, I knew as a fan, like, that's not something you're going to want to see every week. Like, yeah, it's funny a couple times, but like, move on, and I just felt like, honestly, I felt like I just did it too well the first time and it got the big pop. And then all of a sudden, that's what they were putting me in situations to do that, which, again, I just thought was dumb. Maybe I did it too well, or also was like maybe just punishment or something, you know what I mean? A way to bury me because I just didn't feel like it was doing anything for me, you know what I mean? And but like at that point, I mean, it just got to the point where I was booked doing that. Then I was only booked on superstars. And then I kind of went away from that and just focused on my in-ring. And I really actually developed. And, that's why CM Punk had referenced it, after the release about how I had really improved in the ring because I just applied everything there. And, and so it was productive in that sense.
Got to ask about Rinka King, wrestling in India, being American Adonis, working with Jeff Jarrett. What was that experience like?
Oh, fun. Fun. But, we had to work with a lot of guys from India that were super green and lead them. And luckily, though, we had a good crew of guys, like including myself, of course, and Chavo and Daivari, many others that were able to kind of dance with these guys, even though they were so inexperienced. But, it was a lot of fun, man. We had a really good crew there. And it was kind of my first time working with Jeff, I think. Which I ended up doing kind of a lot more throughout the next few years. And, it was kind of, I think that might have been my first time to India. So, in terms of like India itself, it was just a little bit of culture shock in terms of like, first of all, the guys are very affectionate with each other in a way in which in this country would be looked at as very weird. So that was, because you'd see the guys backstage, not us, but the Indian crew, and they'd be like massaging each other and all kinds of stuff. And so, we'd be looking around like it's a little different. And then, we just realized really quickly, it's like, oh, it's just that's the culture. And then, you know, also in terms of just India itself, you just once you get out of the big cities, I mean, it can be no man's land. You know, it can be third world in some parts there. So, you know, yeah, it was cool. It was fun, and I think, you know, I just remember it being a good time. You know, I'm enjoying it.
I want to ask about Impact Slammiversary 15. You and Eli Drake, now LA Knight, against D'Angelo Williams and Moose. This is one of my favorite celebrity matches. Big Carolina Panthers fan, D'Angelo Williams, running back for the Panthers. I was like working with D'Angelo and Moose and Eli Drake in this match.
Well, I mean, I've said this on many interviews. I mean, I was working with Eli Drake, LA Knight, for my basically whole time there, kind of like as a sidekick, so to speak, or whatever. But he's just an awesome dude, and I just loved, you know, everything we got to do together, and just getting to know him and developing a friendship with him that's lasted till this day. You know, I went to like his New Year's party out here a couple months back, or a few months back now, actually. I just remember D'Angelo Williams just doing awesome. But like for me, like it wasn't a high point for me, because I just remember I was very there wasn't a lot I could do. Like I had a few different injuries going on, so I was really unfortunately putting like all the workload on LA Knight, and not really as much a part of the match as I would have liked to be, or contributing as much as I want to be. So I mean, that's what I remember. But I also remember D'Angelo Williams doing very well, and he also didn't rub anybody the wrong way like some people tend to do, or anything like that. You know, an outsider coming in, he was just, you know, kind of vibed with everybody, didn't have any kind of heat or anything like that. And Moose, man, I mean, Moose is just, you know, Moose is Moose, man. I think everybody loves Moose. He's a student of the game, man. He's just been, you know, constantly evolving, and just updating himself, and you know, getting better and better to where he's at now. So yeah, just fun time, man. I just wish I would have been able to do more, man. I just had too much going on with myself at that point, physically.
I recently became aware of your Jewish ancestry. I'm a
Oh,
Jew,
really?
and I'm a Jew myself, and I very publicly put it out there. And the reason I actually found out that you're Jewish is because you worked Second Wrestling's Mitzvah Mania. Can you talk to me about working a card like that, and also like your own, like being out there as a Jewish wrestler? Is that something that's important to you? Is it something that you want to play up more? I'm curious because, again, representation for me growing up, there weren't a lot of Jewish wrestlers, right? It was like Barry Horowitz and Bill Goldberg. And now to find out more wrestlers are kind of coming out there, is that something that you find of interest to yourself and your character?
Well, not necessarily my character, because I don't know how it ties in when I'm selling like a spoil. Then again, my nickname has been Sexy Jesus as of late. So,
See, we're already on the way.
I'm just trying to feel how would the Jewish community feel about Sexy Jesus? They wouldn't look down upon it as much as the Christians, I imagine. So, I don't know, yeah, but honestly, I don't know how it ties into the character. I do have some passion towards it, and a lot of it is just because I've grown up with it. And but also within the last couple of years, I went to Auschwitz and Poland, because I went there to wrestle and saw that. So yeah, like it cuts deep with me, but it's an odd world where, you know, where it's a very polarizing time for that. So it's like, yeah, I'd like to you know, talk about it and be open about it. But then like when you look at obviously the conflict, and not to get into the world politics and all that, it's just, you know, it sucks on both sides. So like you don't, you know, neither side should be holding up their flag and, you know, shouting really ideally in this situation. So but you know, it doesn't seem like there's many of us represented in wrestling. And I don't know why Goldberg gets all the praise. I mean, hey, you know, you also got Chris Adonis here. Or actually, MJF, though, is kind of, yeah, he's really kind of holding that mantle. You know what I mean? He's doing a good job, and he's actually kind of worked it into his character. So like he's got that mastered. But just to answer your question though, like yeah, it is a passionate thing to me, and stuff like that. But like, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to put the Jewish star on the on my trunks or
However,
anything like that. I mean, not to say I wouldn't either.
we actually had someone just say the matzo lock would hit.
Oh, the matzo lock. God, we got to think of a way to use that, man. Maybe it is a hold or a skid or something. I don't know. That's good.
We got some work to do.
Yeah.
Chris, we mentioned a lot of places that you've wrestled. You've wrestled all around the world. Is there a strangest place that you have wrestled?
Well, the man, I've been at a lot of strange places, honestly. It's crazy. Like, even my coworkers in the business will tell you that, because, like, if you ever talk to Nick Aldis and you ask him about it, he'll tell you that I've been to some of the oddest countries. But I mean, also, that is the benefit of having some WWE television, especially in that era. Not to say, like, this era right now is starting to really become a big thing, you know what I mean? But, like, Ruthless Aggression era was an era that was looked at fondly now, you know what I mean? So, especially because of some of the stuff I think you saw in the mid 2000s, or you know what I mean, like the PG era and stuff. But what was your question? I'm sorry.
Oh, just the strangest place that you've wrestled.
Oh, just yeah. So, the first place I thought of, and I'm going to be going back there soon for StarCast Down Under in Australia, is I went out there for a four show tour and was out in, like, we did an indie show that was basically, we ended up driving through 2 hours of Outback to get to this town. It was like the most isolated place I've ever seen. And you'll even in America, you'll get to some shows that are, isolated in the South and stuff like that. But when you're talking about the Australian Outback, I mean, we even, I'll tell you this one. Okay, so I was in a car with a guy who was driving me. Shoot, what's his name? He was a good brother. But anyways, and then everybody else was in the ring van and with the ring. And so we're driving on this road in the Outback, and we make this turn, and now we're turning onto this road that isn't even a road. It's just dirt. And, like, I'm looking down at my phone, and I see I have zero phone reception, and I see no one around, no one. And, like, he starts going down, and it's, like, all bumpy and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What happens if we get a flat tire or something? And we're in the middle of the freaking Outback, no phone reception, nobody around. And so, like, I literally made the guy stop. And so we could think about this situation. And I even told him, like, well, maybe we could contact the ring truck and ride with them at least. Because I'm also thinking at this point, God, if we get stuck out here, I have like two protein bars. I didn't plan for this. Like, what if we're out here without food and water? And I'm like, I'm just thinking it could be honestly a disaster. And so, anyways, long story short, unless that's already too late, somebody ended up driving down that road about 5, 10 minutes later, and we talked to them, and then inevitably I ended up feeling more comfortable because I saw another car, and I just realized, like, okay, so it's not just us. There's other people going, because I mean that's how scary it looked. I mean, honestly, if you think about that, you're in the outback of Australia, nothing's around, and you turn onto a road that has nothing on it, and it's bumpy as hell. No, for anybody's gonna be like, what, like, WTF, you know? But I mean, I've also been to, like, Northern Africa and gone to, like, some of those healing things, and so I mean, I don't know, man. There's a book I'm sure that could be written. I really wish I would have wrote, like, something, jotted down the most memorable stuff every day. That would have been good.
We'll come back. That'll be the whole point of when you finally decide that's it. You're gonna write that book and
Oh
all
gosh, but so much will be forgotten is the unfortunate part. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, just because, a big part of my early run there too, I was cloudy because, I had issues then and stuff like that. And so I remember stuff. It's not like I don't have a memory, but a lot of it was a little hazy, if you know what I'm saying. So.
I get it. All right. Before we let you go, we play a little game on the program. It's called Partner, Promo, or Punch in the Face. I'm going to give you three wrestlers that you're very used to, you're very connected to, and you're going to pick which one you would partner with in a tag team match, which one you would cut a promo with in the ring, and which one you would punch in the face, have a singles match with. Are you ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Carlito, Eddie Colon, Orlando Colon, Chris Masters, Partner, Promo, Punch in the Face.
Oh my gosh. I would punch Eddie in the face.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd punch Eddie in the face for sure. And he knows why. And if he asks me why, I'll explain it to him, but he shouldn't. And I'm like, And then I want to partner with Carlito because you just never, like, it would have gone well until it didn't, as we know. So I'd have to team up. I'd have to team with Orlando, I think. Right. And then cut a promo with Carlito.
That sounds
Right.
about right. Yeah.
Right. That covers everybody, right? I mean,
It
that
does.
just, that, you know, yeah, that's the way it has to. Although I could punch Carly in the face. You
Listen.
know, I think Eddie and Carly could honestly switch places at various points. You know, I mean, there were times I wanted to punch Carly in the face, but then obviously I couldn't harm him. You know what I mean? Like, look at him. You know, you can't harm him. He's a lover, not a fighter.
I think
I would feel so terrible about myself after if I would have struck Carlito. So yeah, it's got to be Eddie.
But then the problem is Eddie's going to be the special referee in your match coming up on Saturday, so you got to be cognizant of that.
Oh yeah, I am, but I have some information that you guys don't have, and it definitely makes Eddie punchable in the face. So
Right.
we're just, I mean, I love him, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's why you didn't say kill him. You didn't say F Mary kill, thank
No.
goodness. You know, man, I'm not looking to murder the man, but you know, he could take a punch in the face. But then again, I love Carlito, and that could have been him again at various points on in storyline and for shoot. You know what I mean? Like,
I
so.
get it. Well, instead, this Saturday, you're going to be putting up your Universal Championship against Mr. Rating Ray Gonzalez. It's going to be WWC Camino a la Gloria. That is Saturday, March 30th in Puerto Rico. Chris, thank you for joining us. Before we let you go, please plug your socials, plug anything you need to do.
Instagram, Chris Masters 310, and Twitter or X is at Chris Adonis. And yeah, that is it.
Perfect. Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Look at
Thank
that.
you
Thank you,
guys.
Chris.
Appreciate you.
We
All
appreciate it.
right, take care.
You too.
Thanks,
It's
man.
the one and only Chris Masters.